So I had talked, I guess it was last Wednesday, I think, or something, about communion, I guess I actually gave the communion and spoke about it, but said we didn't have time at that point in time to turn it into a lesson, so that I would do that with the verses at another time. So this is that other time. So we're going to look at today, what do we learn from the shadow of the Jewish holy place in the Lord's Supper? In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it's where we'll start. 1 Timothy 3:15. So Paul says, in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth. So here he speaks about conducting ourselves in the household of God. And this is not particularly talking about when we're in a building. We could be out at a campfire, we could be anywhere. But we'll see that the church is the household of God. Another good reference to that is Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 6. Hebrews 3:6. And here he says, but Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence in the boast of our hope, firm unto the end. So here he makes it clear that we are the house. Christ is a son over his house, and we are the house. And so we are the household of God. So obviously we're talking about a spiritual temple. In Hebrews 10:21, he says, and since we have a great priest over the house of God. So, of course, we know that he's speaking about Christ here in the context, that Christ is the high priest over the house of God, which house we are. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And again, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are that house of God. It's a spiritual house. It's a spiritual matrix that we all are spiritual stones built up that make up this house. And we are holy, Peter says. That we are holy, that we are royal. We are part of the royal family. I understand why God gave us kings and priests kings on the earth, so that we would understand royalty, because he wants us to know about the royalty in heaven and a royal family of which we're a part. And so again, those things are even shadows of the substance of royalty. So as I brought up before, we don't need someone of a special priesthood, meaning special as in made up of men, to come in and offer us by their hands the broken bread and the cup, as if we are not holy ourselves, and that we don't need anyone between us and those emblems to partake, but we are to come as holy royal priests ourselves and partake of these emblems in remembrance of our Lord. So we then, being the house of God, living stones, a spiritual house, are the substance of the holy place of the shadow of the first covenant, between the outer court and the holiest of all. So you had the physical outer court in the temple, the physical temple, and you had the inner court, and you had the Holy of Holies. We, the church, stand in that place of the holy place between the Holy of Holies and the outer court, as priest of God. So as there is then an analogy or a comparison between the Jewish holy place and the Christian house of God. So there is an analogy between the furniture of the first tabernacle or holy place and those who officiate in it, and the furniture of the Christian house and those who officiate in it. So if you turn to Exodus 39, we'll look at some of those things in the shadow. Exodus 39, we'll look at verse 32. Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was completed. And the sons of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so they did. Verse 36 says that the table, all its utensils, and the bread of the presence were there. And then we read that in verse 43, and Moses examined all the work, and behold, all they had done was just as the Lord had commanded. This they had done, so Moses blessed them. So in the first tabernacle, which is called the Holy, there was the candlestick, there was the table, and there was the showbread, also called the bread of the presence. And as I said, if you look up that bread of the presence in the Hebrew is face. So it was the bread of the face. And whose face would be there that we are to remember? But the face of God, the face of Jesus. So Leviticus, let's look at Leviticus 24. Leviticus 24, and we'll look at verses 5 through 9. Leviticus 24, 5. Then you shall take fine flour, bake 12 cakes, with it 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each cake. You shall set them in 2 rows, 6 to a row, on the pure golden table before the Lord. You shall put pure frankincense on each row, that it may be a memorial portion for the bread, even an offering by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath day he shall set it in order before the Lord continually. It is an everlasting covenant for the sons of Israel. It shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, for it is most holy to him. From the Lord's offerings by fire, his portion forever. And also with that, let's look at Numbers 4:7. Numbers 4:7, just a few pages over. Over the table of the bread of the presence, they shall also spread a cloth of blue and put on it the dishes and the pans and the sacrificial bowls and the jars for the drink offering, and the continual bread shall be on it. So here again, the table, the bread of the presence, and here we see also jars for the drink offering, and to be continually placed before the Lord. So there was always 12 loaves of bread on the table. Always. It was always there. And every week, the bread was eaten by the priest as a memorial. Every week. So, remember those shadows. And let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 21. So, Paul here is saying that you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and of the table of demons. So, Paul well understood both the Jewish and the Christian institutes. And he tells us that there is in the Christian temple, which temple we are, a table appropriately called the table of the Lord, or the Lord's table. Both the temple and the table are spiritual. in the substance. In the Old Testament, there was a table made of pure gold. And the showbread and the drink offering and the candlesticks were on it. And they were there always in God's presence, and they were most holy. The priest would come and partake of it every week. Verse 16, here where we're at, 1 Corinthians 10, says, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ?" So what we see here, that Paul is reminding the Corinthians of the familiarity they had with the Lord's table and with the bread. And speaking of it as being a common thing, at their regular meetings of the brotherhood, the cup of blessing, which we bless or give thanks, he says, is it not the sharing in the blood? Other translations say the communion of. Instead of sharing in, it's communion of, or joint participation of. All express the same idea, the same thing, that we all come together and share and participate in this together. That's why I like personally myself to always partake. Like tonight, if we have people that have not had it this morning, I like to partake again with them, because it signifies the sharing, that we are one body, we are one bread. And so we do this together in communion together. So if somebody comes in and didn't get it in the morning, then I don't want them taking it by themselves, because that's not the picture of our union, our communion, our sharing together in this one bread. In this style of language that Paul uses here in 1 Corinthians 10, he's speaking of things common and usual, not uncommon or unusual, but things familiar, common, and of a regular occurrence. Look at the language in verse 16. He says, "Is not the cup of blessing which we bless?" So the cup which we have received, not the loaf that we have broken, past tense, but which we break. So the language here is present tense, the cup of blessing which we bless. A sharing in the blood of Christ is not the blood, is not the bread which we break. That's present tense language. A sharing in the body of Christ. So all the language here, verse 16 and 17, is a present tense of this bread. In other words, it's something that we're familiar with because we do it all the time. It's always happening between us, this union, this communion, through this bread. So some places come in the name of the Lord and they take it maybe once a month. Others less often than that. And I think that violates the idea that Paul's putting across here of the familiarity that the Christians had of this, because they were taking it, like the priests in the Old Testament, they were taking it every week. So I think that the language there in 1 Corinthians 10, 16 bears that out. So what then is the aim here that Paul is showing us? That in the Lord's house, that is in the regular assembly of the saints, wherever that be, the regular assembly, there was always the table of the Lord. And since it's been shown that the Lord's house, which we are, there is the Lord's table always as a part of the furniture. We see in the shadow of the physical, as we look back at the physical tabernacle, that it must always be there. When in the shadow was it never not there? When in the physical temple would the table and the bread not have been there? It was always there by God's command. So look at Exodus 25:30. He says, you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me at all times. I cannot imagine what might have happened if they came in through the temple, the priest, but the table and the bread of his presence was not there. Would not have been very good. I don't think it would have went over very well. So, it's for this reason that Paul tells us in Acts 20, verse 7, that the house of God assembled on the first day of the week. Primarily, it was this reason, the Lord's table, to break bread. And while they were together, he taught them. And while they were together, because it was their custom, that they would also at that point in time take up a collection to help the poor saints. So it was obvious that this was an appointed time. We have by precept and example the early church. This was an appointed time that the church would assemble on a regular basis, and then the Lord's table should always be there, and the bread should always be broken. That's what we learn from the shadow. And Paul brings it to life in his teaching here in 1 Corinthians. So on the Lord's table, there is one loaf arising from the meaning of that institution. So he tells us here that, I'm going back to 1 Corinthians 10 for a minute. Give you a minute to get there as well. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16 again. He's saying that the literal body of Christ is one body represented by one bread. Thus, there is one figurative body having many members, so there must be one loaf, verse 17. Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. You see, he's showing the oneness, the unity, that we are one body by the one bread. Under the shadow, there were 12 loaves, and there were, because there was 12 tribes. Well, that middle wall partition, we know, was broke down. So now there's a oneness in Christ from all nations. We all come together. We're one body. And the literal body then is the body of Jesus Christ, which this represents. And so we, being the figurative body of Christ, are all one. And so it's broken and distributed because we are all one and partake of it together. So we must consider, because there's one bread, that the congregation of the Lord is one. And it's not just this congregation we meet, but it's all the churches who meet, the churches, New Testament churches who meet on the day that the church always met, on the first day of the week, and the table of the Lord should always be there, and the table of the bread should always be broken there. That's what we see. So, it's in harmony with the shadows. So I want to talk for a minute about the shadows and show you the importance of them and how they are teaching us all the time. And how the shadow, even though the shadow is not an exact representation of the body, but it's close enough that you can see the similarity and learn from it. So in Matthew 13, let's turn to Matthew 13. And we'll look at verse 35. Once we understand and see the emphasis placed on shadows and types and figures and patterns and things, then we'll see that the importance that we should pay attention to those things in rightly dividing the Word of God as well. Matthew 13, 35. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. So the things hidden, Jesus said he would utter. What were the things that were hidden? Were they not the shadows, the types, the figures, the patterns? They were hidden. Many of them we don't understand until we had the substance of the New Testament. Then these hidden things can be revealed, can be understood. Look at verse 52. And Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings out of his treasures things new and old. things new and old. And again, where do we get the old treasures he's talking about? It's in the shadows, the types, the figures, the patterns. They reveal the new. They reveal each other. Things hidden, revealed, Jesus speaks about, verse 35, been the treasures of the kingdom from things new and things old. Old things are types of new things. The New Testament is in the old contained. The New Testament is in the Old Testament. It's contained in there. But in the Old Testament is the new explained. So God set it up that we need both. So the one explains the other or makes it more clear that there can be no doubt. So shadows and substance. So the value of the types and the anti-types, or that which is not a type is an anti-type, is the proof they furnish of the inspiration of the scriptures. How could you have these shadows before the substance came? But then when the substance came, there's the shadows that match up. How could that be done? Only by an all-knowing mind. So you see the shadows and the figures and the types and all that in the Old Testament, when we see their fulfillment, their substance in the New, that says inspiration. How was that done? Only by an all-knowing mind who made those things to present that. Thus, the typology, that is types, typology of the Old Testament is the picture language of the New. I've got a book at home that somebody had made, and it's quite interesting. And it's got the word written out above on the top sheet. You can just like you read the scriptures, it's got the scriptures. But then down here, it's all in cartoon form of the Old Testament. So it's the pictures of what you're reading. And I seen someone did that for Steve once on a lesson. He was preaching, teaching. She's down here drawing, coloring it out. And lo and behold, there it is. Everything he was saying, she had put it in picture form. And it really helps people. I mean, really, if you don't get it in the teaching form, then the picture form lines up with it if it's done correctly. And then you learn from that. So, Romans 15:4, let's look at that for a minute. Here we see that for whatever was written in earlier times, or the Old Testament, was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So the things written in the old time are written for instructions for us, to encourage us. If you look in 1 Corinthians 10, and we look at verse 6, says, now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. And verse 11 says, now these things happened to them as an example, that they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So the things the Old Testament is telling us are written for our instructions. They were written for our examples. Look in Hebrews 8:5. He says of these things, according to the law, who serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. Just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle, for see, he says, that you make all things according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. That's why everything had to be done exactly as God said. The tabernacle, the furniture, everything had to be exact, because they were shadows, they were representations of the substance of the age in which we live. So that's why God said emphatically, it has to be done according to the pattern I've given you. So again, you can see God looking ahead and having this set up that way. So We see then copies, shadows, and patterns from the Old Testament which reveal or confirm things of the New. So they can consist of typical persons, events, ceremonies, structures, furniture, numbers. There are shadows, types, and figures of all those things. In studying the types, we look for comparative words. For an example, 1 Corinthians 15:22, Paul says, "As in Adam, so in Christ." I could give you three more examples: Matthew 24:37, John 3:14, and Matthew 12:40. All say there is an "as" and a "so" comparative. As this, so this. As this, so this. Shadows, types, patterns, figures. For us to understand, to make comparisons, to get it. Types from the Old to the New, also known as dispensational types, and such as Isaac is a type of Christ. Isaac of that dispensation to the dispensation in which Christ lived. They were both children of promise. Isaac was born of a mother that had been barren. Jesus was born of a virgin. Many types and promise, types and fulfillments we see in the different dispensations of the Old to the New. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Christ was lifted up on the cross, John 3:14. Another example is types, figures, patterns, shadows. So then when we look to what we looked at tonight, what Paul is teaching and showing us about communion, the Lord's table, and the breaking of the bread, all this we learn, it is substantiated, confirmed by the shadows. One confirms the other. So we see that we should look at the types for examples and instructions for our learning. So we'll stop right there on this.